welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Hawaii's Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. Before Tom and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Hawaii's head coach, Chris Henches.
Chris, let's take a look back to last week. You got a win, and maybe you didn't play your best, but you found a way to get a win against Lake Hawaii.
Yeah, I go back and looking at the tape. We missed some opportunities early, and they capitalized, on our poor performance. And I thought they had a really good game plan going in, both defensively and offensively. I thought we made good adjustments at halftime, and our kids came out with a lot more fire and a desire to execute at a high level. And I thought that was a difference in the third quarter for us to pull away and to get that win.
You finished the regular season 8-1, the district champs. So there's a goal right there you've achieved. Now everybody back to 0-0.
Yeah. Season play, and I think so many times it's the team that's playing the best football. I feel like we've been playing good football in the second half of the season. We just have to keep that momentum going, and how we handle this bye week is, I think, really important to our postseason success. I think as a coach, you want to use it to heal up some of the injuries and the bumps and bruises and try to get guys fresh again, get their legs back, but you also want to stay sharp. So there's a delicate balance between staying sharp, staying focused, practicing well, and also healing up the kids that you need to heal up a little bit. We've had bye weeks in the past, and we're kind of treating it the same. We're hopefully going to come out next week fresh and ready to go.
All right, that was Elias head coach Chris Henches.
Yeah, apologies for the quality of the audio there. It was a little bit of a wind tunnel out there.
Nothing will touch Wednesday. A couple weeks ago from the Capital City podcast where Kyle McRae was standing right next to the blocking sled, and that was it. A fun week. So, Tom, last week a 17-12 win against Live for Life. The good news is you get the win. Tell me a little bit about it, because it looked like it might have been a little bit uglier than maybe a lot of Elias fans would have scene going into that one.
Yeah, Elias got the ball first and drove the field and got turned away on fourth down.
Right.
And then the second time they had the ball, they went for it on fourth down, gave Live for Life a short field, and turned it into a touchdown. And it was 12-0 going into about 3 minutes to go in the first half.
Yep.
And, Live for Life was driving and looking like they could score again, but Logan Hillman got an interception in the end zone. With about a minute left, Elias drove down and kicked a 54-yard field goal, Brock Martin school record field goal, and that
right.
kind of got him going, got a little spark going, and Elias scored the first two times they had the ball in the second half and ended up getting a 17-12 win.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that span, because I was listening to it on the radio, and that was one of those things where you go, you always hear momentum swings or do this, do that, and maybe you can change the course of things. It doesn't seem like much, but that's a huge three and keeping them from another 6 or 7 where you go, that could have easily been, an 18-19-0 lead at halftime, and then all of a sudden you're in big trouble coming out of the break.
Yeah, if they score there, like say it's 18 or 20 because they're not kicking, they're going for two, and then you're down three scores and you're really in a hole.
Right.
And that, but that, Logan's interception kind of turned the momentum and gave it to them once they got the lead. The Hawaii's defense really wasn't going to let Live for Life score again.
So, again, we have to talk more about the field goal, though, too, because, what a boot. It's a fantastic play.
Yeah, a little bit of wind at his back, but not that much. And they came out and started live. I go, well, okay.
Right.
I've seen them practice. They can kick. Brock's got a good leg, a former soccer player. But he just kind of went, boy, you're kind of reaching here a little bit, just trying to catch lightning in a bottle.
Right.
And they did, and it would have been good from, another 5-10 yards.
Yeah.
So it was a big play that really kind of put a nice bow on what, you know, to wrap up the regular season.
Yeah. Well, and that's the sort of thing where, you know, you hope that you don't need to use something like that again, but you never know if you're going to find yourself in that situation later on in the year. And having something like that in your back pocket where you go, we did it, not just in practice, but in a game scenario, that could end up being huge, where if you maybe need that in a clutch game coming down the stretch of a tight playoff game in the postseason.
Yeah, you know, it's a confidence kick. And I talked to Brock after the game, and he said, you know, when I saw they were only rushing three, it kind of like, okay, I don't have to rush through this.
Right.
Because they thought, well, this kid's trying to kick a 54 field goal. That's not going to happen.
Right.
But, you know, he kicked it and made it, and it is. It is a confidence booster.
Yeah. So I guess the other thing that you didn't mention is that's a good springboard to go into the playoffs. And again, you know, you're not going to play this week because you got the bye for locking up the one seed in district. So, you know, that's just another nice way to go. You know, the second half is a nice way to propel yourself into the bye week.
Yeah, it's good. You know, they won the first four, lost to Rockbridge in overtime, and then closed with the last four they've won. And you take a look at the defense. They posted something this week that, you know, in October they played four games and allowed an average of 5 points per game and 140 some yards of offense. So, you know, they played really, really well down the stretch, and now it's time to build. You know, the cliche, everybody's back to 0-0. But Chris said, you know, whoever plays the best football this time of the year is going to win district, and that they want to be that team.
Absolutely. So just kind of setting up the rest of the district, you know, it kind of, I don't think there's any big moving or shaking that happened, you know, but this does result in Hollis getting the bye. So we're looking at a game next week, which we'll break down more then, but it's going to be the winner of Rolla and Camden. And so, you know, when we get to the prediction point of the podcast, I'll probably ask you to predict that game later on, but that's kind of an interesting matchup. And then the other side of the bracket has Cap City against Smith Cotton, Lebanon against Jeff City. So, you know, some interesting and some familiar matchups against some of those teams that are all, you know, on that other side of the bracket.
Yeah, you know, I think Capital City, you know, just played Smith Cotton a couple weeks ago in Sedalia, and kind of, it was a game, you know, they ended up winning 21-14, you know, and you kind of wonder, can Smith Cotton carry that momentum into, you know, tonight over at Capital City?
Right.
I don't know. You know, I mean, they are the number seven seed kind of for a reason.
Right.
And then Lebanon, you know, hosting Jeff City. Lebanon is traditionally really good. I think they've won their fair share of district titles in the last few years. And I think Jeff City is going to have its hands full down there tonight,
yeah,
which would set up, you know, a Lebanon-Capital City semifinal at Capital City next Friday, which I think would be a really good game.
Yeah. I think the one thing that everybody always wants to focus on at this time of year is just overall health of the squad and kind of, you know, the one reward you get for maybe having a bye week this week and being in a 7-team district rather than an 8-team is that it gives you a week of rest. So how much needed is that rest for the Crusaders at this point?
I think, you know, Chris said that's one of really the big positives of having the week off. It's a chance to kind of just heal up some, you know, bumps and bruises. Now, like a couple guys have a little more than a bump and a bruise. You know, Will Kemna, starting offensive and defensive lineman, suffered a broken hand early in the game against Lift for Life, and while fortunately doesn't need surgery, but, you know, if they were playing this week, he wouldn't play.
Okay.
And I think, you know, looking into next week, it's a question of whether he's going to play.
So, okay.
You know, Chris said he will play again this year.
Okay.
You know, depending on, you know, obviously how well they go. But he, you know, Will is kind of going to be a question mark for at least, you know, at least for next week's game for sure. And then, you know, Stone Hosier, another starting offensive lineman, is in concussion protocol. Would not play this week if they had to play, but, you know, making progress, and they think he will be back for the semifinal, district semifinal.
Okay.
So that's good. Alex Marbury, who we've talked about injury report for the last month.
Right.
You know, he's kind of, you know, he ended up playing a little bit against Live for Life, and he's, you know, he's getting, Chris thinks he'll be close to 100%, you know, for the semifinal. So they're going to get Alex back, you know, another playmaker in that offense.
Right. So I think this week is also another one of those weeks to kind of look at, okay, is there anything that you need to shore up now that we're in do-or-die time? You know, we're at win or go home, you know, everything after this is kind of an elimination game. So is there anything, again, it's been a very successful season to this point. You're 8-1 at this point. You know, the Crusaders have done a lot of good things at this point. But is there anything that you, as an observer that's watched them through all these games, go, that's maybe one thing they need to get better at this week and going forward?
I don't know, you know, Chris isn't real happy with, you know, the offense just being able to sustain drives.
Okay.
I think that would be something that, you know, they don't – it's kind of the lack of big plays. They just don't have
sure.
– right now, they really haven't busted out a big play on offense for a while.
Right.
You know, special teams, yeah. But you know, I think right now that would be something you'd like to maybe see him get a little better at. But, you know,
defense. How fixable is that?
I know.
That,
see,
though?
That's the
right.
thing.
Right.
You know, the way teams play defense against them, they're not letting you throw the ball deep.
Yeah.
So you're just going to have to be patient and try to drive the
yeah.
field. You know, I can practice this week. You know, Tuesday was just spent on fundamentals. Back to even stuff they did in football camp. You know, just tackling drills and just kind of offensive go do to everything else. And then, they, you know, they spent a little bit of time on Camden on a day and then a little bit of time on Rollin on another day. And just kind of – they're just getting back to basics.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of a little bit of refresher, you know, and just nothing too strenuous because they do – want to stay as healthy as possible going into next week.
Yeah. With you wanting to kind of get some of those big plays or not having had many, sometimes you get the feeling when you watch a team and you go, they're due. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. Do you feel like this team is just due and it's ready to break? Or is this like, again, like you say, if teams are actively trying to prevent that, do you just go, they may not ever come just because we can't plan on that sort of thing being we're going to be all of a sudden get these huge gains whenever, you know, things get rolling, quote unquote.
I think after 9 games, this is who they are.
Yeah.
You know, they're just going to have to be teams. A team is going to have to get 10, 15, 20 yards.
Right.
And that may be the biggest plays they're going to get. But,
sure.
You know, you've just got to sustain drives. And for high school kids, sometimes that's really difficult to do.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, on the flip side, that's what Hawaii's defense is so good at, not giving up big plays and making them try to score.
Right.
So I think, you know, you're looking at some lower scoring games.
Right.
And, you know, I think Elias is comfortable with that. They know they can win.
That's the other thing, I guess, that I was going to point out is you're to the point of the season where you don't care about glitzy things. All you're interested is getting the W at this point. So maybe it becomes easier to stomach just having to grind out those games now that you're at the point where everybody's going to be grinding.
Yeah, and it's just a, you know, I'm not saying they don't have the capability of doing it.
Right.
Because they've got big playmakers. And I think getting healthier, maybe, you know, a week of just rest, a chance to kind of go bust. Because they did. I mean, you know, there were some big plays really early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think right now this is just a team that's going to grind out, you know, 28, 35 points a game and let the defense take care of the rest
yeah.
of it.
All right, so I guess that does get us to the prediction point of the podcast. And I'll just ask you,
play this week.
Well, then a win.
Hey.
So good job. Way to predict
Thanks.
That. You're 1-0.
Yeah.
So 4-seed Rolla, 5-seed Camden. Who do you see coming out of that game to face the Crusaders?
You know, the game is at Rolla. These two actually have played in the first round of districts each of the last 2 years.
Okay.
Camden's 2-0 kind of blew them out 2 years ago, and last year was a 17-14 game. This game is at Rolla, so mm-hmm. I think that kind of gives them a little bit of an advantage. You know, I think it is a kind of a coin toss game.
Okay.
I think it just, me personally, I don't know that I want to sit through another 3-hour Hawaii's Camden game.
Right.
My God, that was torturous.
Yeah.
And so I think just from a purely selfish standpoint, I'm gonna take Rolla 28-21.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.